Turn back in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Let's pray as we think on these words. Lord Jesus, would we hear these words of yours? Would we put them into practice and be like wise men and women? We ask this in your precious name. Amen. At a conference that I was at recently, one of the speakers who was there ran a seminar. And it wasn't called How to Get Punched in the Nose for Being a Christian. But he said that there's only a few things really in our society today that will get you punched in the nose for being a Christian. One is saying that to know God, to have a relationship with God, it has to be exclusively through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you wouldn't have to go very far in this probably neighborhood to find someone who would probably punch you on the nose for saying something like that. There's one way to God, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Only that's it. Other people may be sincere, but there's only one way to God, and it's through the Lord Jesus. The other thing you'll get a punch in the nose for, saying that there is a hell. And that it's not just going to be populated by the likes of Hitler and Stalin and other bad men or women that you can think of. But actually there's a real chance that you might be going there yourself. Saying words to that effect, probably a bit gentler than that to be honest, will more than likely get a punch in the nose if you went to travel too far from here. Now here, at the big finale to the Sermon on the Mount, what do you think are the two things that Jesus says? There's one way to God. It's through Him. And hell is a real place. And if you're not very careful, you might just end up there. There is a path that leads to eternal life. There is a path that leads to eternal destruction, judgment, God's punishment. Here, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says the response to all that he said is only one of those two paths. That's it. You listen to what Jesus says, you put it into practice, you find eternal life, or you don't. Now, I've heard it said from people that actually, I quite like the sound of hell because all my friends are probably going to be there. Can I tell you folks that hell is isolation from God? And it's isolation from all His good gifts, including friendship. Don't think of hell as some kind of Wild West saloon or pub where there's a wild party going on. That is not the case. It is a place of eternal isolation, eternal tears, eternal regrets. And Dougie, you might be saying, Dougie, are you just trying to frighten me this morning? Well, in one sense, yes I am. Because it's that serious. Jesus doesn't end the Sermon on the Mount by saying, now go away and be nice to each other. He doesn't end the Sermon on the Mount by saying, do you know what? Go away and try not to hurt anyone's feelings. He says it's a decision to be made. We either choose to listen to Him and obey His words and find eternal life, a life that lasts, or we don't. It's that stark. But a message of warning from Jesus is always a message of love. Because for those who listen to Jesus, one day there will be eternal peace, eternal security, love beyond our wildest dreams, a family, a home, unimaginable goodness, a relationship with Jesus that starts now and lasts forever. So how are we going to find this life that lasts? Well, Jesus gives us four little pictures, each telling us something about how to find life that lasts. Okay? Now, number one, those with lives that will last have entered through the narrow gate. and they walk the little path. Look at verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. If we want to be sure that we will enter into heaven and spend eternity there, we must enter through the narrow gate. Okay? We've got to enter through the narrow gate. What's Jesus talking about? Well, he's telling us about himself. He's saying there's only one route to eternal life, and it is through him alone. Now, when Jesus first appears on the scene in Matthew chapter 4, at the start of his public ministry, his first kind of public words are, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." He then, as he goes on to meet some fishermen, says, "Come, follow me." If we want to know what it is to have a life that lasts, we've got to repent, we've got to turn from our sins and come follow Jesus. That's the narrow gate. There's only one of them. It's narrow, it's not broad. There's not many roads up the mountain. There is one and only one. Now, when I was a small boy, there was a beautiful football pitch just around the corner from where we lived. It was kept in pristine condition. And of course, that meant that the gate was always locked. There was barbed wire around it. It was like Fort Knox trying to get in to this football pitch. And as a group of 7 or 8 year olds, we were some kind of SAS. We would scout the perimeter for a way into this football pitch. At one point, one of my mates, he found a little gap in the fence. It was really small. You could only get in there, you know, if you were a small boy. I would have no chance now. And then when you were through the fence, you had to scramble kind of through these bramble bushes. It was not for big fat men to get through. It was narrow. And there was only one way in, and it was through that gap in the fence. You might have come to believe that all religions are basically the same. That's not what the Lord Jesus is saying here. He's not saying that if you're a follower of Muhammad, then you'll get to heaven. He's not saying that if you follow the Buddha, then you'll get to heaven. He's not saying that if you wear your lucky crystals, then you'll get close to God, or whatever your chosen way is. The gate is narrow. Just hoping to be a good person will not get you to heaven. Every other way, Jesus says, leads to destruction. Now, lots of these ways may well be popular. Your friends may say, oh, come on, you know, you're still going on about this Christianity stuff and the Lord Jesus. Leave that behind. It's nonsense. It's fairy tales. Lots of your friends might seem very serious, very clever, were very well thought through, even very religious. But Jesus says, the gate is narrow. There's only one way. I've climbed a few Scottish mountains in my time, okay? That's at the top of a mountain called Ben Lomond. It's only 45 minutes from Glasgow. It's on the banks of Loch Lomond. It's a pretty easy climb. So it's a really popular hill to walk up and down. At almost any time of the day, at any time of the year, there'll be people walking up and down Ben Lomond. Okay? It's really popular, really easy to get to. There's another mountain. I've never climbed it. This is on Skye. Okay? You have to trek for miles just to get there. And the highest peak, to climb that, you need rock climbing gear. This is not for the faint-hearted. Do you know what the view is like from the top of that top peak? Most days it will probably be that. Okay? But on a clear day, it might just look something like that. Beautiful. The odds of meeting people on the path to the top of that second peak are low. But the view is astonishing when you get there, if you're willing to put yourself through it. You know, the Christian life might be described a little bit like that, following the Lord Jesus. Sure, at the end of time, there'll be a vast crowd in heaven singing his praises. But now, the path seems narrow and hard to walk. And yes, at times it seems lonely. Because in every generation, at every stage of life, if you follow the Lord Jesus, you will be swimming against the current. Some of your friends might think or have said, you know, Christianity is just a psychological crutch. That can be further from the truth. You know, your friends might be being swept along by the tide of what's popular at the moment. You know that Christianity in every generation, at every age, you'll be swimming against the tide. You won't be being carried along just by what's cool or what's popular. You'll be fighting against it. Because the path is narrow, it's small, it's steep. And if you're feeling lonely on the path right now, let me encourage you. It's not because you'll be doing something wrong. That could be, you know, far from the truth. It could feel lonely and steep because you're doing what the Lord Jesus says is right. But that little path of obeying Jesus daily, weekly, year in, year out, you know where it leads? To a place where the view will take our breath away. That's where we'll end up. The climb is worth it. Because we'll get to a place that will blow our minds, where there'll be never tears and death and sadness ever again. The road will never be hard when we get to heaven. Just one more thing on this. Verse 13. It doesn't look like it in our English Bibles, but enter through the narrow gate. That's actually a command of the Lord Jesus. It's not good advice, that is a command to everyone who was listening that day and everyone who's listening this morning. He commands us to enter through the narrow gate, to enter through him, to start on that path. And I want to ask you this morning, have you personally asked the Lord Jesus to forgive your sins? Have you entered through the narrow gate? Or are you hoping in something else? You hoping that, you know, just living a good life or even just coming to church and singing his songs will make you closer to God? That does not do that. The only way to be on that path that leads to life is to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive your sins. The amazing thing about it is that as we enter through the narrow gate and start to walk that path, we discover that the Lord Jesus has walked it himself. He's laid out a tread so that we can follow him. Those with lives that will last have entered through the narrow gate and they walk the little path. Second thing is this. Those with lives that last, well, they're watching for good fruit. Okay? Verse 15. So we walk along this path. We've got to watch out. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. As we walk along this narrow path, which at times can seem difficult, there will be people who are saying to us, that looks like a very difficult path over there, and there's not a lot of people walking on it. Why don't you come over here to this better path, this broad road? It's lovely and wide and it's flat and lots of people are walking along it. Just come over here. Remember the warning of the Lord Jesus that any other path except the one he gives is a road to destruction. In our language, I think what Jesus is saying is that we need to be very careful to the voices that we listen to. Even if they claim that they are Christians, we need to be really careful about the people that we listen to and then do what they say. You see, you don't need to go very far from this local church to other churches that may well be in this area who say that, well, if you really love the Lord Jesus and follow him, he would never want you to be unhappy ever. He would never want you to be sick. He would never want you to be unemployed. He would never want you to be unhealthy. There are churches not far from here that would tell you that. And it is a lie. because the road is narrow that leads to life. There was a pastor in the US not that long ago who told his congregation that for the sake of spreading the gospel, they should all dig deep and shell out for him to get a private jet. Where's my private jet? If you ever hear me say that, frog march me from the building. We must face many hardships before we enter the kingdom of heaven. We have to listen out very carefully to the people who fill our heads. We need to be very careful about what we're reading, what we're listening to, what we're watching. You see, remember about false prophets is that they're not that easy to spot. Okay? They come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like you and I. They don't have flashing lights and a warning sign around their neck. I don't know if you watch God TV. I would advise you against it. I don't know if you've read books by... there's a lady called Joyce Meyer. Maybe you don't know those names. There's a guy called Joel Osteen. Lots of others. But if you listen to what they're teaching, they will lead you to a path of destruction. Because they're false prophets. What are we to do? Verse 16. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And the voices that you listen to, especially those who claim to be Christian, what do they talk about? Do they talk more about themselves? Or do they talk about the Lord Jesus? Whose agenda matters most? Do they speak about the cross of the Lord Jesus? Do they speak of his suffering, his resurrection, his coming again? Do they speak about how tough it is to follow the Lord Jesus? Do they speak about sin and the need to repent? Do they speak about the love that's supposed to be between those who are in God's royal family? Do they speak about the need to be part of a local church? You see, verse 18 tells us that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by the fruit, you will recognize them. Watch out. That's why I always love you to have your Bible open at the passage that we're looking at. So that you can see Doogie's speaking rubbish here. Or actually that seems to say in line with what the Lord Jesus is saying. And there's a day coming, the Bible tells us here, where the Lord Jesus will call people to account, especially those who claim to have spoken in his name. And if they have not been speaking the truth, he will cut them down and chuck them into the fire, which presumably I think means hell. Watch out for good fruit. Look at the lives of those who teach and lead you. Listen out to what you're being taught from the front, Bible studies. Is it in line with what the Lord Jesus is saying? By your fruit, you will recognize them. Third thing is this. Those with lives that are last are doing the will of their heavenly Father. Look at verse 21. This passage just really scares me here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. The Lord Jesus, if you like, it takes us to the very end of time. The day where we will all have to give an account for how we have lived our lives. Jesus says that nothing will be hidden in that day. And there will be a bunch of people there who claimed to be followers of Jesus. Actually, who looked to be pretty impressive followers of the Lord Jesus. They were capable of doing miracles. And as you looked at them, no wonder everyone thought they were Christians. Surely they would be welcomed into heaven. Surely they've got nothing to fear in that day. You know, surely the gates of heaven will swing wide open, the band will strike up and play a brilliant tune for these people. But Jesus says, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. What's going on? Well, what's more important to Jesus is not how impressive we may look as his followers. It's not how many demons we might have driven out, thankfully. It's not how many miracles we've done in his name. It's not how many times even I've read my Bible or led someone to faith in the Lord Jesus. The only way we can be sure of a life that lasts, well, is to do the will of my Father who is in heaven. What is that will? Well, his will, first of all, is that we trust the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And then, well, I think it's less about grand displays of faith like these guys were capable of doing miracles and driving out demons, and more about the daily swimming against the current life of obedience. I think that's doing the will of a Father who's in heaven. It's the thousands of little ways each day the Spirit helps us to do what Jesus commands. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list, but things like coming here week in, week out, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't look massively impressive, but it's doing the will of a Father in heaven. Depending on him in prayer. Telling others in whatever way we can about the Lord Jesus. Fighting that daily battle with sin. Coming every day and asking for forgiveness. Reading his words. Making a stand at school, at work, at home. And all those little average seeming ways. Those, if you like, gloriously underwhelming average ways that we live life as a Christian. If you're here today as a forgiven sinner, a follower of Jesus, you're feeling the battle hard, stay on the path. Keep going with your obedience. Don't give up. Those who are here living a double life, who put on a show on a Sunday and then care nothing of Jesus the rest of the week, Jesus says, be warned here. Be warned. Because there's a day coming when everything will be exposed, everything will be laid bare, and to hear those terrible words, Lord, Lord, don't you know me? And him to say, away from me, you evildoer. I don't know you. I do not have a clue who you are. How terrifying. There's still time to turn and know the comfort of forgiveness. Those with lives that last, very simply, they're doing the will of their Heavenly Father. The last thing is this. Those with lives that last are daily putting into practice the words of Jesus. Verse 24, this little story may be one of the most famous that Jesus told. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. If you're of a certain generation, you might remember, the wise man built his house. Yeah, a few people. Or don't build your house on the sandy land. Remember that? Little jaunty tunes. This is pretty serious stuff, isn't it? If we're not going to listen to Jesus and put his words into practice, what can we expect? Disaster. If we're not going to build our lives on his words, if we're not going to listen and obey to what he says, what can we expect from God? Not good things. But for those who listen and put into practice what he says and keep on listening and keep putting into practice, though the storms might come and blow and the rain comes, because we have built that house upon the rock, it will be found to stand firm on the day the Lord Jesus returns. I'm sure the guy who built his house on sand said, I'll be fine. I've got nothing to worry about. In the end, it'll all be okay. Don't bank on it. We've just had new heating installed. Hope everyone enjoys that. When the guy installed it and had finished, he called me to come down here and he showed me how everything worked. Okay? Now imagine I'd said, well, you know what, Owen? You know, shut up and go home. I'll figure it out on my own. You know, the gas supply is fine. I'll take a blowtorch to it and see what happens. That would end in disaster. If I want to be someone who has eternal life in heaven, I need to listen to the King of God's royal family. We all do. Will you listen to him today? Will you put his words into practice? Or will you be like the man who built his house in sand and thought, you know what, I'll be fine, because we know what happens to him. Let's bow our heads, let's pray.